Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. Okay, let's move on from the cannabis prohibition issue. I think I've covered that rather systemically. This is from the freedomoutpost.com. University students signed petition to legalize abortion after birth. Whoa. Putting down infants. Think about that. What kind of a dangerous precedent are we setting here? I mean, are we going back to Spartan times, you know? If you were sickly or misshapen, he would have been discarded. You know, that's... Holy Shiite Muslim. Holy Shiite Muslim. Okay, let's read this out. I've called it what it is and will continue to call abortion murder. Whether it's inside the womb or outside the womb. Now video has emerged showing George Mason University students... Yes, I'm sure Walter E. Williams is having a fit right now. Signing a petition... Who the hell is Walter E. Williams? I don't know. Signing a petition to legalize abortion after birth. According to the petition, which was signed on Wednesday, demanded that lawmakers legalize, quote, fourth trimester abortions. In other words, they want to fully legalize the murder of a child that has been born. I bet you dark occulted mysticism practicing scumbags would love this. The petition... Because it'll allow them to sacrifice other people's babies legally and just call it an abortion, wouldn't it? Well, maybe that's just me trying to think like a psychopath. I could be wrong. The petition, which was circulated on GMU's flagship campus in Fairfax, Virginia, just outside DC, by Media Research Center reporter Dan Joseph, who said it was aimed at sending, quote, a message to our lawmakers that women have the right to choose what to do with their bodies and babies even after their pregnancies. If you don't know what fourth trimester is, it's after the baby is already born, Joseph said. Currently, fourth trimester abortions are illegal in all 50 states. You mean murder of infants is illegal in all 50 states? Oh, that's horrible. That's just horrible. Most my God, these people are freaking psychotic. Shock. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You've just been thinking about this. There's actually people out there who want to just execute infants because they're inconvenient. Oh, God. The country is just falling into a state of disrepair. No morality. No bond of loyalty to your own blood. And people actually sign this kind of thing. Because most of these university students probably won't even go on to have kids. There was a statistic back in the, I think it might have been late 60s, early 70s, something like 95% of women educated at American universities or colleges didn't have kids. Like something like that. It was a ridiculous statistic. Basically, the higher education you are, the less likely you are to have children because you're all busy getting your careers and so on and so forth. You're too busy doing that to make sure that your bloodline continues. Most responses should horrify anyone with a conscience as they declared anything from okay to cool. One concerned student asked if the procedure would cause harm to the child. Well, see, this is a university-educated American. Would murdering the kid actually cause harm to the child? Yep. The educated are that freaking retarded. Well, the child wouldn't be there anymore, responded Joseph. It's abortion.
Oh.
Oh, God. This is kind of like making me sick to my stomach. It's like almost like I can't read this. Oh, my God. Oh, God. These people are just sick. And just think about this. If you don't even freaking care. Hey, and it's just this. This will be like one of those steps, you know. And a next step will be government forces you to abort your child after birth.
Yeah.
That'll be the next step, guaranteed, as opposed to signing a petition about it. Oh, my God. Sweet mother of mercy. These are college students. Do they not know what abortion is? Of course they don't. That's why they're in college, to learn what basic thing, like what abortion is. It's taking a life that's not yours. It's ripping up little humans and flushing them down a toilet or throwing them in a trash can. Oh, and also selling their carcass to major pharmaceutical companies so that they can cut them open, remove their organs, and grow viruses on them and extract their blood and then pump them into vaccines which go directly into your bloodstream without any processing. So you're sending foreign DNA from aborted babies into your frickin' bloodstream because that's where they get the organs for growing their viruses now. Did you know that? That is horrific. Every time you go and get a vaccine, and I don't know if anybody's stupid enough to keep taking vaccines, apparently they are, you are having a baby's aborted cells injected directly into your fracking bloodstream. Abortion has been great for the pharmaceutical industry. It's been great for probably why they advocate it so freaking much. You know, wait, do they actually advocate it? I'm not sure. But still, that's the unfortunate fact of it. Oh, God. What sort of mindless automatons is our society producing? The worst kind. The worst kind. My three-year-old knows what abortion is. It's murder. See, this is his opinion. I kind of sort of agree with him, you know, to a degree. The fourth trimester abortion? That's definitely murder. There ain't no frickin' equivocations. Joseph said that after an hour, he garnered 14 signatures and said it was a lot for the summer since there aren't as many people on campus. This is what the next generation coming behind us is thinking. God help us. God help us in frickin' deed. Sweet Jeebus. Oh, my God. It takes a lot to shock me, but that really shocks me. Somebody actually petitioning to murder freaking born babies? You know, that's just, I don't agree with abortion first of all, but once the baby's already born, you can kill it. Holy crap. This is the most horrific thing I've ever heard of in my life. These people don't even know what it is. It's kind of like, what did they do with that petition? H2O. I've forgotten the name of it. But anyway, somebody was going around saying dihydrogen monoxide. There we are. H2O. Water. But they called it dihydrogen monoxide, and they say that it's the many people are killed because of it. It causes soil erosion and many other bad things. You'd be surprised how bad water can actually be if you look at all the negative things that it is. You know, it kills people in floods. It contaminates certain things and whatever. It's the primary ingredient in acid rain. You know, and people. We're going around with a petition. This is a joke, mind you, but the results that they found were very serious. That you ask people, do you want to ban a substance that does all this? And they go, yeah, absolutely. It sounds really freaking dangerous. They're voting to ban water because they have no freaking idea. We are so dumb. Right? This is why I keep reminding myself every day, Vinny, you're really dumb. Okay, just imagine for a moment that you're not as smart as you think you are. Just imagine that you're actually really frickin' stupid. And imagine that you don't have any idea just how frickin' stupid you really are. That's how bad the situation is out there. Right? At least I am willing to admit that I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? Most people will never admit it. And literally never have known anything that they're talking about. whatsoever. Don't even know what water is. Right? Isn't that terrible? Speaking of terrible, early death comes from drinking distilled water. Yeah, see here, from realpharmacy.com. That's pharmacy with an F. By Zoltan P. Rona, MD, MSc. Zoltan! All right. That's from Dude, Where's My Car, by the way. Zoltan! During nearly 19 years of clinical practice, I have had the opportunity to observe the health effects of drinking different types of water. Most of you would agree that drinking unfiltered tap water could be hazardous to your health because of things like parasites, chlorine, fluoride, and dioxins. I'm glad he put the fluoride in there. I love this person already. Many health fanatics, however, are often surprised to hear me say that drinking distilled water on a regular basis is potentially dangerous. Hey, look, it don't have no minerals in it, does it? And that's half the... That's 90% of, like, the nutritional value of water is all the minerals in it. Or something in it. Otherwise, all it does is flush minerals out of your body and makes you more susceptible to disease. Pretty straightforward, don't you think? Paavo Aiolo wrote about the dangers of distilled water in the 1970s when it first became a fad with the health food crowd. And there's an old saying, I think it might have been Mark Twain or one of those wise old deed guys who are authors of American books. Be careful in reading health books. You may die of a misprint. Distillation is the process in which water is boiled, evaporated, and the vapor condensed. Distilled water is free of dissolved minerals and, because of this, has the special property of being able to actively absorb toxic substances from the body and eliminate them. Studies validate the benefits of drinking distilled water when one is seeking to cleanse or detoxify the system for short periods of time, a few weeks at a time. Fasting using distilled water can be dangerous because the rapid loss of electrolytes, sodium, potassium, chloride, and trace minerals like magnesium, are deficiencies of which can cause heartbeat irregularities and high blood pressure. Cooking foods in distilled water pulls the minerals out of them and lowers their nutrient value. Distilled water is an active absorber, and when it comes into contact with air, it absorbs carbon dioxide, making it acidic. The more distilled water a person drinks, the higher the body acidity becomes. This is why you want minerals, because it raises the pH. All right, a guy on Bob Stevens, I think if you go to the Kiwi Collaborators page on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, he makes this amazing freaking water called pH 10 water. And I don't even know if he's still in business. I haven't talked to him in years. And I wish I could get his border if I find out how the hell we get contact with him. Like his website's still up there. I think it's like ph10.co.nz, ph10water.co.nz, I think. But yeah, I've tried calling his numbers and no answer. I don't know if he's still in business. According to the US Environmental Protection Agency, distilled water being essentially mineral-free is very aggressive in that it tends to dissolve substances with which it is in contact. Notably, carbon dioxide from the air is rapidly absorbed, making the water acidic and even more aggressive. Many metals are dissolved by distilled water as well. The most toxic commercial beverages that people consume, i.e. cola beverages and other soft drinks, are made from distilled water. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's true. As far as I know, that we were all just kind of watered down with municipal fluoridated chlorinated water, but all right, if you say so. Studies have consistently shown that heavy consumers of soft drinks with or without sugar spill huge amounts of calcium, magnesium, and other trace minerals into the urine. I'd say the artificial sweetener ones are definitely, even if they don't have sugar, basically, you know what aspartame does at higher temperatures, just a little above room temperature kind of thing? It turns into frickin' formaldehyde. So that means as soon as you drink it, your body heats it up to an appropriate temperature to cause it to become frickin' embalming fluid in your stomach. That might have something to do with maybe all your trace minerals and your death and so on and so forth, don't you think? A friend of mine, Barry, was chugging back a lot of this stuff, and he was gaining a lot of weight. He was developing all these sicknesses and so on and so forth. And now he's got a fridge full of all these ridiculously awesome health supplements and stuff like that from different companies and things from all over the place, right? And he's never looked better. Like in the last 2 years that I've known him, he's gotten 2 years younger. Looks like. See, this is the risk of not knowing what's going into your body. You know, read a freaking health book. You know, do something. Get some exercise. Find out. Because look at it this way: this is your vehicle that you get around with all the time. You cannot freaking escape your body, no matter how much ayahuasca you take. The more mineral loss, the greater risk for osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, hypothyroidism, coronary artery disease, high blood pressure, and a long list of degenerative diseases generally associated with premature aging. Incidentally, if you are drinking lots of high mineralized, high pH water, it actually stops the aging process virtually dead in its tracks. Okay, you can get to the age of 45, 50 and still look like you're in your early 30s kind of thing if you're drinking the appropriate amount of proper water each day. The reason why a lot of us age so fast nowadays and also develop diseases and so on and so forth in premature aging, whatever, is because we're dehydrated. The vast majority of the time, people are walking around. They're supposed to be like 70, 80, 95% water or something like that. And they've got like around 50% of water on average. All right? We're constantly dehydrated. You know what happens when you're dehydrated? You can't freaking think. Can you? Your cells can't accurately repair themselves or replicate. You know? It's a really bad thing. You got less blood coursing around. So the opposite of blood doping, more or less. Fracked. No energy, no hope of rescue, fracked, basically. That's what being constantly dehydrated is. And everybody's constantly dehydrated, I can assure you. You drink Coke, what's Coke got in it? Oh, it's got sodium. Why has it got salt in it? It's because when you frickin' finish drinking it, you'll be so frickin' thirsty that you need to buy another one. Unless, of course, you were drinking some mineralized water, in which case you'd actually feel satisfied. You even notice that? That's why they call it the Coca-Cola conspiracy, because they're doing it on freaking purpose, like a level 6 biotoxin when it comes off the freaking boats or something. Same as the powdered fluoride, which is like a sulfuric acid complex. It's really horrific stuff. I think we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere.
Toting my pack along the dusty road.
Welcome back.
When along came,
it's an appropriate song for a Fukushima-related article, don't you think? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're going to talk about Fukushima right now after coming off the back of a Johnny Cash song called I've Been Everywhere, Man. Isn't that ironic? The crisis at Fukushima's Unit 4 demands a global takeover. This is by Harvey Wasserman from commondreams.org. We are now within 2 months of what may be humankind's most dangerous moment since the Cuban Missile Crisis. I think it's a hell of a lot more than the Cuban Missile Crisis because you can't stop it. There is no excuse for we're so dead, bro. Oh god, we're probably gonna need that fourth trimester abortion thingy, because all the babies all world round will be born deformed before the week is out. Fukushima's own oh my god, that's really dark. I'm sorry. When I'm scared I laugh. I'm sorry, it's just a natural reaction. Fukushima really does scare me. It really does. There is no excuse for not acting. All the resources our species can muster must be focused on the fuel pool at Fukushima Unit 4. Fukushima's owner, Tokyo Electric, or TEPCO, sounds like some kind of tepid bath company, says that within as few as 60 days, it may begin trying to remove more than 1,300 spent fuel rods from a badly damaged pool perched 100 feet in the air. The pool rests on a badly damaged building that is tilting, sinking, and could easily come down in the next earthquake, if not on its own. Some 400 tons of fuel in that pool could spew out more than 15,000 times as much radiation as was released at Hiroshima. The one thing certain about this crisis is that TEPCO does not have the scientific, engineering, or financial resources to handle it, nor does the Japanese government. The situation demands a coordinated, worldwide effort of the best scientists and engineers our species can muster, or the species is gone. Why so serious? We already know that thousands of tons of heavily contaminated water are pouring through the Fukushima site, carrying a devil's brew of long-lived poisonous isotopes into the Pacific. Tuna irradiated with fallout traceable to Fukushima have already been caught off the coast of California. We can expect far worse. TEPCO continues to pour more water into the proximate site of three melted reactor cores. It must somehow keep cool. Steam plumes indicate fission may still be going on somewhere underground, but nobody knows exactly where those cores actually are. Much of that irradiated water now sits in a roughly 1,000 huge but fragile tanks that have been quickly assembled and strewn around the site. Many are already leaking. All could shatter in the next earthquake, releasing thousands of tons of permanent poisons into the Pacific. Note, a relatively small earthquake struck Fukushima Prefecture on Thursday, an indication of the inevitable occurrence of larger ones in the near future. And this article's from September 20th, by the way, it's about 5 days ago. The water flowing through the site is also undermining the remnant structures at Fukushima, including the one supporting the fuel pool at Unit 4. More than 6,000 fuel assemblies now sit in a common pool just 50 metres from Unit 4. Some contain plutonium. You know what plutonium is named after? It's named after Pluto, the Roman god of the underworld, because it's that freaking dangerous. One tiny little microgram or something gets into your body is enough to cause death. It's unbelievable. The pool has no containment over it. No containment. It's vulnerable to loss of coolant, the collapse of a nearby building, another earthquake, another tsunami, and more. Overall, more than 11,000 fuel assemblies are scattered around the Fukushima site, according to long-term expert and former Department of Energy official Robert Alvarez. There is more than 85 times as much lethal cesium on site as was released at Chernobyl. 85 times. Chernobyl made cancer rates skyrocket everywhere. Everywhere. I don't know the statistics on this, or what it was, but there was a massive increase in breast cancer and cancers of every freaking kind all over the world from Chernobyl. And now we're dealing with something that's 85 times, and that's just one. That's just one of the many possible radioactive substances and chemicals that can be released if anything bad happens to Fukushima, as if it hasn't been bad enough already. Don't you get it? This is like a virgin extinction level event, you know, to my mind. And this is why Dr. Rima Labo just says, get the frack out of the Northern Hemisphere. And then, seriously, if you're listening to this and you're living in the Northern Hemisphere, Dr. Rima Labo says, get out of there. It doesn't matter whether you're leaving your home, your family, your children, so on and so forth. It's all gone anyway. But then again, no, there is no then again, is there? There may not be another human race again after this kind of stuff. It's just whew. Ooh. Gives me bad vibes, man. Bad vibes reading this kind of information. And I think it must do the same for everybody, you know? What's the best case scenario? What, we won't have to worry about going jogging at night because we'll all glow in the mother-fracking dark? Radioactive hotspots continue to be found around Japan. There are indications of heightened rates of thyroid damage among children, local children. The immediate bottom line is that those fuel rods must somehow come safely out of the unit for fuel pool as soon as humanly possible. Just prior to the 2011 earthquake and tsunami that shattered the Fukushima site, the core of Unit 4 was removed for routine maintenance and refueling, like some two dozen reactors in the US and too many more around the world. The General Electric designed pool into which that core now sits is 100 feet in the air. Spent fuel must... Is anybody else concerned about the logic of this? Okay. You have some of the most dangerous radioactive material known to man. And where do you put it? I know. On top of an explosive reactor core 100 feet in the air. Yeah, that's where we spent all, that's where we should put all our spent fuel, don't you think? What a safe place on top of a giant explosive device. We're so fracked, bro. We're so fracked. Spent fuel, must somehow be kept underwater. It's clad in zirconium alloy, which will spontaneously ignite when exposed to air. Let's revise that. So let's keep our spent fuel full of some of the most toxic radioactive substances known to man, coated in zirconium, which spontaneously ignites when exposed to air, on top of an enormous nuclear bomb. Potentially. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon to figure out that these people are freaking nuts. Long used in flash bulbs for cameras, zirconium burns with an extremely bright, hot flame. Each uncovered rod emits enough radiation to kill somebody standing nearby in a matter of minutes. A conflagration could force all personnel to flee the site and render electronic machinery unworkable. According to Arne Gunderson, a nuclear engineer with 40 years in an industry for which he once manufactured fuel rods, the ones in the Unit 4 core are bent, damaged, and embrittled to the point of crumbling. Cameras have shown troubling quantities of debris in the fuel pool, which itself is damaged. The engineering and scientific barriers to emptying the Unit 4 fuel pool are unique and daunting, says Gunderson, but it must be done to 100% perfection should the attempt fail. The rods could be exposed to air and catch fire, releasing horrific quantities of radiation into the atmosphere. The pool could come crashing to the ground, dumping the rods together in a pile that could fission and possibly explode. The resulting radioactive cloud would threaten the health and safety of all of us. All of us. Chernobyl's first 1986 fallout reached California within 10 days. Fukushima's in 2011 arrived in less than a week. A new fuel fire at Unit 4 could pour out a continuous stream of lethal radioactive poisons for centuries. Former Ambassador Mitsuhei Murata says full-scale release from Fukushima would, quote, destroy the world environment and our civilization. This is not rocket science, nor does it connect to the pugilistic debate over nuclear power plants. This is an issue of human survival. One disaster, one place, one country, and one electricity generating facility can destroy all of mankind in one day. Is this a argument perhaps against nuclear power? It could kill everybody just like that if something went wrong. Yeah, let's place all of them on fault lines around the world. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea, bro. Who came up with that freaking brilliant idea? People are freaking insane. My God.
my God, it was just risking all of our freaking lives. The very existence of all humanity is on the freaking brink. And a couple of electricity executives want to save face so they don't ask for help. Sweet mother of mercy. Oh. Neither Tokyo Electric nor the government of Japan can go this alone. There is no excuse for deploying anything less than a coordinated team of the planet's best scientists and engineers. Like this is like, you've seen the movie Armageddon, you know, where they get like the best oil drillers from around the world to save their ass because there's just no other freaking possibility. There's no way you can do it. Okay, this is one of those moments. Whole world's about to be destroyed by something hurtling through space. You send up whoever you got. Whoever can get the frickin' job done. And you get the frickin' job done so that the human race doesn't get annihilated. But no, we're gonna save face here, you know. We don't wanna be embarrassed in front of the international community for needing help with something that might exterminate the entire human race. No, that's just bad, you know. Might do permanent irreparable damage to our reputations. For now, we are petitioning the United Nations and President Obama to mobilize the global scientific and engineering community to take charge at Fukushima and the job of moving those fuel rods to safety. If you have a better idea, please follow it, but do something and do it now. The clock is ticking. The hand of global nuclear disaster is painfully close to midnight. I've just sent an interview request to that Harvey Wasserman. I really want to get him on the show. That'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? I love having this. Man, there's actually been two articles that I've read out today that have scared the living bejesus out of me. One about Fukushima and one about fourth trimester abortions. Anybody else get freaked out by that when I was reading out those articles? Did it make you kind of feel sick to your stomach? Maybe freaked out for the future of the entire human race when you realize this stuff is going on and it's not like blown out of proportion or anything. We're actually trying to be like real calm about it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Speaking of remaining calm, this is from the Daily Mail. .co.uk, written by Tamara Cohen, a political correspondent. World's top climate scientists told to, quote, cover up the fact that the Earth's temperature hasn't risen for the last 15 years. This is released on the 19th of September 2013. Leaked United Nations report reveals the world's temperature hasn't risen for the last 15 years. Politicians have raised concerns about the final draft and fears that the findings will encourage deniers of man-made climate change. Well, oh, you're just afraid that the evidence suddenly makes you look like a lying frickin' scumbag that's trying to enslave the entire fracking human race. Did you know that David Cunliffe, the new Labour leader, his missus is the head of the New Zealand Carbon Exchange? Well, hold on a second. So a man who's running for the leader of a country and is vocally a supporter of climate change is married to somebody who would directly benefit monetarily, massively, from carbon change, carbon tax legislation that he wants to pass. Should he be elected? And I can guarantee you she's getting money now anyway because the national government has implemented carbon trading and taxes and all of this other kind of stuff. Oh, but they're afraid it'll encourage the denier movement. These people deny things. They deny our lies and misrepresentations and obfuscations of statistics and thousands upon thousands of omissions from all of the official scientific documentation that we made up. We're really unfortunate. Oh, no. Dang that information. Dang that truth. Dang that evidence. It's going to derail our whole frickin' climate change agenda. How terrible is that? You poor dears. You poor dears. You've been sucking down tens of thousands of dollars a year in your frickin' climate change scumbaggery agency salaries so that you could BS everybody with your carbon change frickin' BS. Come on. Just shut up. You're a bunch of lying scum. Frack you. Frack you very much. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
bonkers.
Well, a little bit bonkers, isn't it? Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I want to get through this climate change article. Oh, there's some frickin'... All right. Let's just face some facts here. If you believe anything official sources say without researching it for yourself and determining whether or not it's true, you've got to be freaking crazy. All right, climate change chief among them. Any research into the evidence, it becomes very clear very quickly. Not only has the planet not warmed for the last 15 years amid all these predictions of carbon dioxide, but that giant Icelandic volcano produced like, goodness knows how much, it produced more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than the entire human race's contribution to carbon levels for its entire existence. And the temperature didn't rise massively. Isn't that interesting? These people have a belief, okay? Not unlike a religion. In fact, to believe in climate change is a religion, okay? There is no fact whatsoever that will encourage me to believe that climate change is man-made, okay? Not because I'm in denial, but because the evidence simply does not freaking exist, and everybody who says that it has existed has been caught lying. Every single person, okay? Even the people who aren't scientists, even from the people on the street who are on the sign-on campaigns and so on and so forth, to everybody up in the University of East Anglia, every single one of them is a liar. I can say that with absolute certainty because I've never seen the truth come out of their mouth or down in documents or anything like that. They're just there to BS you. Why does somebody lie to you? It's because they don't want you to realize something. Why does somebody lie to you? It's because they're trying to take something from you. The climate change argument works like this. Can you name me a single human activity that doesn't produce carbon dioxide? See that breath? That exhale right there? That's carbon dioxide. Every single human activity causes it. So if you wanted to make something illegal, if you wanted to make something taxable, if your agenda is to control the movement and the work life and every single aspect of life of the entire human race, what would be your target if not carbon dioxide? That is the point. Control of the whole human race. Nothing less. Scientists working on the most authoritative study on climate change were urged to cover up the fact that the world's temperature hasn't risen for the last 15 years, it is claimed. A leaked copy of the United Nations report compiled by hundreds of scientists shows politicians in Belgium, Germany, Hungary and the United States raise concerns about the final draft. Published next week, it is expected to address the fact that 1998 was the hottest year on record and world temperatures have not yet exceeded it. Which scientists have so far struggled to explain? The report is the result of 6 years' work by the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, which a lot of climate change activists don't even know frickin' exists, which is seen as the world authority on the extent of climate change and what is causing it, on which governments, including Britain's, base their green policies. Concerns. Scientists have been urged to cover up that fact. Right. It hasn't. I mean, come on. Really? I mean, case frickin' closed, don't you think? But leaked documents seen by the Associated Press yesterday revealed deep concerns among politicians about a lack of global warming over the past few years. Germany called for the reference to the slowdown in global warming to be deleted, saying looking at a time span of just 10 to 15 years was, quote, misleading. And they should focus on decades or centuries. Really? Really? Hungary worried the report would provide ammunition for deniers of man-made climate change. You mean the facts would encourage somebody who disagrees with you? How dare they? Belgium objected to using 1998 as the starting year for statistics, as it was exceptionally warm and makes the graph look flat, and suggesting using 1999 or 2000 instead to give a more upward-pointing curve. World's top... I mean, come on. They're just a bunch of liars and manipulators and obfuscators of statistics. This is no different to eugenics, okay? Racial purity. Okay, that's what I hear translated when somebody says climate change. I hear racial purity. This United States delegation even weighed in, urging the authors of the report to explain away the lack of warming using the, quote, leading hypothesis among scientists that the lower warming is down to more heat being absorbed by the ocean, which has got hotter. Probably nothing to do. The massive amounts of Fukushima radiation that have been dumped into it over the last couple of years. The last IPCC assessment report was published in 2007, which has been the subject of huge controversy after it had to correct the embarrassing claim that the Himalayas would melt by 2035. See, they just make insane projections. Okay, this is in programming circles, it's called garbage in, garbage out. If you put BS information into a model, it's going to model you some BS results, isn't it? It was engulfed in the ClimateGate scandal surrounding leaked emails, allegedly showing scientists in it trying to manipulate the data to make it look more convincing, although several inquiries found no wrongdoing. Inquiries of which didn't take into account that all of the scientists admitted those emails were theirs, and the inquiries were held by people who actually had an interest in the climate change agenda. Okay? It's a biased trial. Of course it found no wrongdoing. Just as now, they're saying to hide the decline of the last 15 years, and so on and so forth, it's the exact same methodology every single freaking time. Of course they're finding no wrongdoing, because they can do no wrong. The latest report, which runs to 2,000 pages, will be shown to representatives of all 195 governments next week at a meeting in Stockholm. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Hopefully all these climate changes will have Stockholm syndrome so that they can love the people who lie to them and then frickin' enslave them and call them scum behind their back, who can discuss alterations they want to make. So we're just going to alter the scientific evidence now. Yeah. Yeah. That's a brilliant idea. Like, this is what the evidence finds. Well, we're not supposed to find that, though, because we're making stuff up. Scum. But since it was issued to governments in June, they have raised hundreds of objections about the 20-page summary for policymakers, which sums up the findings of the scientists. When it says it will inform renewable energy policies and how much consumers and businesses will pay for them. All right, so a bunch of people who are meteorologists decide what energy policies we would use and who has to pay for them. Oh, really? The report is expected to say the rate of warming between 1998 and 2012 was about half of the average rate since 1951, and put this down to natural variations such as the El Nino and La Nina ocean cycles and the cooling effects of volcanoes. Well, hold on, so carbon dioxide being released into the atmosphere actually cools the climate. A German climate scientist, Stefan Rahmstorf, who reviewed the chapter on sea levels yesterday, admitted it was possible the report's authors were feeling under pressure to address the slowdown in warming due to the, quote, public debate around the issue. And I think a recent article has come out and said that Australia and its coastline is actually falling and the sea level is getting lower. Isn't that interesting? The draft report, which is not new research, but a synthesis of all the work being done by scientists around the world, is likely to be highly disputed at the 3-day meeting. It will make the case that humans are causing global warming with carbon emissions even more strongly, upgrading it from very likely in 2007 to extremely likely it is man-made. It's like the warning level on after 9/11, you know? Oh, it's orange, it's purple, it's fruity today. It's ridiculous. But scientists are under pressure to explain why the warming has not exceeded 1998 levels, although the decade to 2010 was the hottest on record. Okay, how could it have not ever increased and yet have the next decade be the hottest on record? Maybe it's because there used to be 700 climate weather monitoring stations in Canada. Just take Canada as an example. There were 700 of these stations. They reduced them to 7. Was it 7? I think it might have been 10 or something like that. And they only left in the weather modification stations that were on, you know, black tarmacs at airports, so on and so forth. And naturally, oh my God, we've recorded a warming. It's the hottest year on record. Eldon Meyer of the, or outside what are they called? Outside the air conditioning vents where they pump all the hot air from the buildings directly onto the weather monitoring equipment, as Niwa in New Zealand was caught doing. Everything they say is a freaking lie. Eldon Meyer, the Union of Concerned Scientists based in Washington, said yesterday, I think to not address it would be a problem because then you basically have the denialist saying, look, the IPCC is silent on the issue. Well, of course, Jonathan Lynn, a spokesperson, hey, my sister's husband's called Jonathan, a spokesperson for the IPCC said yesterday, this is the accumulation of 4 years' work by hundreds of scientists where governments get a chance to ensure the summary for policymakers is clear and concise in a dialogue with the scientists who wrote it and have the opportunity to raise any topics they think should be highlighted. Well, I guess they didn't include the 500 frickin' scientists that quit in disgrace and really, really hated the entire original IPCC report because all of their frickin' findings were cherry-picked, taken out of context by these climate scientist propagandist fracks. Okay? I don't know what I can say to you people. These people are scum. They're liars. They're frickin' evil.
Evil. Like it's a phrase of the devil. Do not trust anything they say, Igor. Don't trust them. They will kill you, and they will enslave the human race.
Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the very lighthearted Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll see you again sometime. Assuredly. Make sure to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate.